Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives, hosted by Reverend Otley Holmes, Senior Pastor of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Mesa, Arizona, where our vision is touching hearts and changing lives by the power of His Word, Luke 4, 18 and 19. Our mission is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now, please join us in a study of the Word of God.
Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives. This is Pastor Holmes, your host. And as I always love to say, it is my privilege, my pleasure to be back amongst my listening audience once again as we study together the Word of God. Amen. So for those of you who have been tuning in, we are in the book of Acts, and we have in the fourth chapter. We're going to pick it up about verse 31. But as always, let us begin with a word of prayer. Eternal God, our Father, once again, we come before your presence and thank you, O Master, for allowing us to study your holy and inspired word. We pray now, O Lord, that your word will not return unto you void, as you always say in your word, that it will conform us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask this all now in Jesus' name, for his name's sake. Amen. Well, let's begin at verse 31 in chapter 4 of the book of Acts. I'm excited about this because this is one of my favorite books of the Bible, because it begins and talks about the birth of the church and the spread of the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. Verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of these things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common." Well, that is some kind of a prayer meeting. Now, A.T. Robinson, in his word study of the New Testament, says that it's plausible that when the place was shaken, it may have been a God-ordained earthquake. I don't know how it came about, I just know that it came about. And there's one marvelous thing that had taken place, is that the prayer meeting was of such that God gave a physical stamp of approval, if you will, that they were able to come into his presence. And what it says is, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." Now, we know that when you become born again, you have the indwelling, the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But we also realize that the Bible tells us many times over that we are to be filled with the Spirit. That is, we are to be yielded to the Spirit. So we see here there were several things that took place at this prayer meeting. The place was shaken. They were all filled. In other words, there was a fresh filling of the Spirit. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And that is something to just get excited about. When we speak the word of God with boldness, we need some bold testimony today. We need some bold witnessing today. We need to be bold for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember Acts 1:80 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Acts 4:13 says, "And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Acts 9:29 says, "And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him." That is the type of boldness that we need today. Now, as a result of this prayer meeting, it says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common." Now listen to verse 33. "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them." Now, because of this prayer meeting, we find that they had all things in common. There was a unity. There was a special bond between them. They did not see their possessions as being possessions that they owned, but rather possessions that God owned. And because they were in unity, they decided that the things that they had were of common value. And I tell you, that is so different from today's materialistic world. In today's materialistic world, we are concerned with me, myself, and I. But the part that I get excited about is I wish somehow we could recover that sense and source of unity. I know that the source of unity is God, but I don't know why we can't seem to grasp that. And I'm not talking about doing this. This was a marvelous and a one-time event, it seems like, because we don't see any other place in Scripture where what we're about to look into was repeated. But the fact that these people were so enamored by God, so thankful to God, that they didn't count the things that were their possessions as important. Because verse 33 says, "And with great power gave the apostles the witness of the resurrection of the Lord, and great grace was upon them." Now, I just get excited when I hear about that great grace. Because, in other words, the apostles spoke of the resurrection of Jesus Christ with such power, such clarity, such truth, that the people that heard the message were deeply moved, touched, and transformed to such a degree they realized the abundance of grace that God had bestowed upon them. Sometimes, this is my personal opinion, but sometimes I think the church today has forgotten about the grace of God. Somehow, some way, we begin to feel like we have done something for the Lord rather than the Lord doing something for us. But the apostles, when they took this message and they talked about the great grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when they talked about, like it says in Romans 5 and 8, this is how God commended his love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When they talk about the righteous dying for the unrighteous, when they talk about how our goodness is as filthy rags, when they talk about the only thing we deserved was eternal separation from God, when they talk about for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, when they talk about the love of God, as he has for us, that he allowed his son to die the death that you and I should have taken, then we understand the great grace. For that word grace is unmerited favor. And God loved us so much that he poured out his love and his grace through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus the Christ. I don't know about you, but I better move on because that's preaching material right there. We don't understand the fullness of what God has done through his son, Jesus Christ. Maybe I shouldn't say we don't understand. It seems like we don't appreciate, or seems like we've gotten so familiar with it, it's become common. Every now and then we need to look back over our lives and understand how far God has brought us from. Every now and then we need to look back over our lives and understand that we are truly sinners in need of a Savior, and because God's love for us, he allowed his son to die to death, to pay the penalty that no way that we could have paid. It says, verse 34, "Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of the lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." Now that is a benevolent program that would make any pastor smile. That is a program where they understood that whoever had a need, what they sold, their possessions, whether it was land, whatever they sold, they took the monies and laid it at the apostles' feet and counted on the apostles to distribute the finances as was needed. It says, "And Joses, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." And that's verse 37 and the end of chapter 4. We see there was a benevolent attitude. There was such an outpouring of the unity of the Spirit of God that no matter who had need, there was someone there that would see through your need being met. And I tell you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, the church can do the same today. We may not do it on that magnitude that they did it in the book of Acts here, but when there is great need, we ought to be the first ones on board. It's about stewardship. It's about ministering to those who are in need. It's about taking care of the poor. And Jesus said, the poor will be with you always. And I know we have to be wise stewards over the things, because there are so many out there today that would just run a game, a sham on the church, trying to get money in from the church. But we need not hoard things. The Bible doesn't tell us to hoard the resources and the blessings that God has given us. The Bible tells us that we are to enrich the lives of those whom we come in contact with. We ought to be not only praying for our missionaries that are all around the world, but we ought to be supporting them financially. We ought to be looking to their needs. They sacrifice so much of their lives and the comforts of life that they may spread the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. So because we're not on the mission field, we should be able to at least support them in their needs by being wise stewards, setting aside some of our church finances, part of our budgets, to say, okay, we're going to give this to the mission work. We're going to give this to the mission field. We're going to make sure that God's word does go out. We're going to make sure that every man, woman, boy, and girl has an opportunity to hear the word of God. We want to make sure that we have the blood of no man on our hands. We want to make sure that we do the mandate that we are the witnesses. We are not only witnesses for God, but we are bold witnesses for God. Well, by the clock on the wall, it's almost time for me to begin to wind this program down. And once again, I thank you for tuning in. And I never take this for granted that you tune in and study with me the Word of God. And I would just invite you that whenever you can, that you might stop by our sanctuary on a Sunday morning at 11 a.m. and join with us on worship. And if you can, just go to our website, www.smbcmesa.org. where you can see what we're all about. We have a media ministry up there I would like you to take a look at, and that we might serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. So once again, thank you for tuning in. Please tune in again next week as we study together the Word of God. Take care and God bless your heart.
Touching Hearts and Changing Lives radio program is an outreach ministry of Shiloh Missionary Church and is hosted by Reverend Otley W. Holmes, Jr., Senior Pastor. Please join us every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. on KXXT 1010. We're located at 56 South Robson Mesa, Arizona, 85210. And it's right on the corner of Robson and First Avenue in downtown Mesa. Service times are Wednesday evening prayer meeting, 5:30 to 7 p.m., and Bible study, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Sunday morning, Sunday school, 9 a.m. Worship service is at 11 a.m. For more information, call 480-844-2687 or email sbchurch1011@quest.net. Be sure to log on to the website www.smbcmesa.org. This program has been sponsored by the membership of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church.